Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we talk about the promise and being the children of Abraham. Let's pray. Loving God, thank you for your purposes which were formed to rescue a broken humanity. By your Spirit, please tell us what we need to hear and show us what we ought to do to obey Jesus Christ our Saviour. Amen. There are a few readings for today, and they all come from the NIV, and the first is from Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Our next reading is from Romans chapter 3, verse 21 to 31. Paul speaking says, "But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Is God the God of Jews only? Is He not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too, since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all, rather we uphold the law." Then we read from Romans chapter 4, verse 1 to 5. "What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness." Then we move to Romans chapter 4, verse 13 to 17. "It was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by law are heirs, faith has no value, and the promise is worthless, because law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace, and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, 'I have made you a father of many nations.' He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were." Just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. Again, we have scriptures that are from the lectionary for today. Passages that take us from the beginnings of God's purposes to its culmination through the cross. Purposes which find fulfillment for us now and at the end of the age. In Genesis chapter 12, God spoke to Abram, and instructed him to leave his family and go to a place he would show him. As we can imagine, leaving homeland and family was a much greater decision in a traditional society than in today's mobile, individualistic culture. Abram risked everything he held most dear to obey God's call, not to mention the hazards of traveling in those days. In a similar way, Christ calls us to follow him on a journey that has an unknown destination in terms of how we will live in obedience to him. It too requires that we give up our longings, take up our cross daily, and follow him. Now, it is the general understanding that the key scriptural themes of Genesis chapter 12 all the way to the book's end are set out in the first three verses of chapter 12, namely that Abram will be given a land, he will become a great nation, he will enjoy a special covenant relationship with God, and that through him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. In fact, these themes follow through the whole Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament. Now, Abram, whose name originally meant exalted or honored father, would in light of these covenant promises receive a new name from God in chapter 17. It would be Abraham, which means father of a multitude or father of many nations. These covenant promises are repeated to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob throughout Genesis, with God often amplifying or making them more specific. For example, the land in chapter 12 verse 1 is later in chapter 17 verse 8 defined by God as the whole land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you. God becomes more specific as the descendants respond in faith and obedience, but even their disobedience does not nullify the promises. It only serves to slow their fulfillment. And when we come to Paul's discussion in Romans chapter 3 and 4, where God's righteousness is front and center, he says in chapter 3 verse 21, "But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify." It is a righteousness from God which comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, says Paul, meaning that there is no other means of receiving God's righteousness, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Thus, right standing with God comes through Jesus, whom God presented as an atoning sacrifice through our faith in his blood. This was an act of justice on God's part. And when we go to verse 27, a question arises. What then can we boast about? Nothing. And what is the reason for this? Is it that we obey the law? No, but that we believe. The conclusion is that we are in right standing with God only through faith, and not by doing what the Mosaic law commands. The reason for this is that God is the God of both the Jews and the Gentiles, that is, the rest of the world, on the basis of faith alone, not by works of righteousness, nor by simply observing the law. But at the same time, the law doesn't fall away, since Jesus fulfilled it, meeting its demands completely, so that faith in his atoning death is now the only means of salvation. As we move to chapter 4, the next question arises. What shall we say then of Abraham, the father of our race? What was his experience? And here Paul tackles the aspect of self and works in the process of God's salvation, saying that if Abraham achieved right standing with God by the things he did, he would have something to boast about, but not in God's sight, meaning this would not be God's view on the matter. Why? Because of the testimony of God's own actions in Genesis 15 verse 6, which states, "And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith." Being counted as righteous is not the same as being considered a good person. Instead, the very righteousness of God was credited to Abraham because he believed God. So there was nothing that Abraham could boast about. He had done nothing to merit it. Likewise, while our Christian ethic directs us to do good works, Our righteousness is not tied to those works. Instead, Paul helps us to very clearly understand that we are counted as righteous not because of our efforts or works, but because of our faith in God who forgives sinners. As we conclude, following these last few thoughts, we need to tie up some loose ends. In verses 13 to 16, Paul refers to the Mosaic law, faith, and the grace of God in ways that require some elaboration. First, in verse 13, he repeats what he stated earlier, saying, "It was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith." The point being that Abraham's right standing with God, as well as God's covenant promise to him, came centuries before the Mosaic covenant. Paul then clarifies his statement in verses 14 and 15, saying, "For if those who live by law are heirs, faith has no value, and the promise is worthless, because law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression." Essentially, Paul is saying this: if inheriting the promise depended on the law, nobody would receive it because everyone would simply inherit wrath, or the condemnation of God. Therefore, the promise must be received through faith, so it can be a gift of grace that is guaranteed to everyone who believes, regardless of their ability to keep the law. For this reason, Paul concludes in verse 16, "Abraham is the father of us all." As we continue towards Easter, we are able to see ourselves in light of the promise of Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. He is the father of many nations because salvation is not restricted to a people group, but extended to all nations. Secondly, he is the father of many nations because we, like him, are people of faith. And while the word promise always points back to God's original word to Abraham, Paul explains that its true fulfillment is found in the gospel, making salvation and the inheritance of God's kingdom available to everyone through faith in Jesus Christ. And so may we come to value this precious faith, which was imparted by the Holy Spirit. May we also share this precious faith with all those who live without Christ in this way. May God help us. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you that you are our Father, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. May our lives reflect the life you give us by your Spirit, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.